So for this Father's Day, we'll be in Luke chapter 15. So turn your Bibles, Luke chapter 15. My dad has been filling the pulpit at Manhattan Bible Church. They were looking for a pastor, and so he's been filling the pulpit for them while they're doing that. And he told me he was going to be covering this passage on Father's Day. So I was like, ah, I'll steal that. I have no idea where he's going with it. I didn't look at his notes. I have no idea. He didn't explain any more than that. And so he was planning on preaching today at Manhattan, but they have someone candidating that they're looking at to call as their pastor. So that person is, that man is actually preaching this morning. So he didn't get to preach his Father's Day sermon. But anyhow, that's how we came to this passage, Luke 15. And certainly as we look through Scripture, it's hard to find a good Father's Day passage. I mean, there are lots of fathers, and there are lots of terrible fathers that are described for us in the Bible. But here we find an example, I think of a good father. And as I think of Father's Day, and I think of responsibilities of fathers, I think of three great, unique responsibilities that are just for fathers, right? They're just for fathers. Certainly, we all have the responsibility, doesn't matter who you are, to have a relationship with God. That is the most important thing, and certainly as fathers, that's the most important thing. But there are three unique ones that just apply to fathers. And the first one is to love your children's mother. Right? That is the first and greatest responsibility of a father, is to love the mother of your children. If you can do that, you're doing really well. Because that's very important for your children. And so, you know, building that marriage is more important than your children. Your relationship with your wife is more important than your relationship with your children. It is. That's huge. That's very important. And I had men that gave me great advice right before I got married, just telling me, hey, if you love, like someday, hopefully God gives you children. If you love your children, you will love their wife. Their mother, sorry. You love their mother, your wife, more than them. All right? The marriage is very important. The second responsibility as fathers is to model the heavenly relationship. To model the heavenly relationship. As fathers, it is incumbent upon us to model that relationship that hopefully our children will have with their heavenly father. Right? It is incumbent upon us to model that thought of providing identity and acceptance and belonging and love and affirmation and discipline. All those things, right, that we look to our earthly fathers for, that really only our heavenly father can provide. As earthly fathers, we're to model that. Now, certainly we are not perfect, right? We are not perfect. But certainly that relationship and modeling that relationship is important. And hopefully we're directing the hearts and minds of our children towards their heavenly father, right? And pursuing that relationship. Hopefully, right, that's where we want to be at. And then third, last great responsibility of a father is certainly to provide and protect. And that's important. So this morning, we're going to focus on number two. That thought of modeling the heavenly relationship. Because maybe you messed up number one already. Right? We live in a fallen world. We live in a world where things happen. Maybe the marriage didn't work out. Maybe something happened. I don't know. I'm just saying, right? Maybe we failed at that. We can always work on modeling the heavenly relationship. It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter what else. We can always work on that. That is certainly important. And maybe as growing up, we had maybe you had a terrible father. Or maybe you had no father. Right? So certainly I think this is something that would be good to look at and focus on this morning. Certainly this is for fathers, but certainly it's for all of us as we think of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And certainly God is gracious. Right? It doesn't matter. He is gracious. He can redeem any situation. And so here we see this great example of modeling that heavenly relationship. Here we see a father who has some messed up sons. Right? They're messed up. They're off the rails. They have grown to adulthood and they've gone off the rails. They've gone their own way. Both sons, I believe, are in need of redemption. But so certainly we see this parable here of the lost son, or the prodigal son, or however you want to put it. But I want us to focus this morning on the father. We always focus on the sons, but this morning I want you to consider the father and how the father handles this situation. So Luke chapter 15, verse 11. It says, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that far country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.'" So in this situation, we see the father modeling this thought of a heavenly relationship. And certainly that is the point of this parable, is this thought of one who is lost and is restored to his father. And so as we look at the father here, I have six thoughts here dealing with this heavenly relationship and how the father here is modeling that and dealing with his sons in this. And so the first is, relationship is more important than stuff. Relationship is more important than stuff. As we see the father dealing with the younger son here, the younger son asks for his inheritance. It didn't always go this way. I mean, the father didn't always give his inheritance early before his death to his sons, but it wasn't unheard of, right? This was something that could have happened. It may have happened. We don't know if Jesus is pulling off something that actually happened or just a parable, just a story. But certainly this is something that was feasible that could have happened. He got his inheritance early. And as a young man, certainly with a bunch of money that he didn't earn, he went off and wasted it. We're told he wasted it on some pretty bad things. He went and partied and hung out at the strip club and harlots and prostitutes and all that, right? Everything, drinking and drugs, whatever it is, right? That's what he did with his money. He went and wasted it on pleasing himself and fulfilling what his flesh wanted. That's what he did. And so as he returns here, we don't see the father shaming him, right? We don't see the father saying, "Hey, you idiot of a son. You wasted all my money. I worked so hard for that money. I worked so hard for this farm and everything in it, and you went and you wasted it. You worthless son." Right? We don't see that. Right? He doesn't even bring up the money. He doesn't bring any of that up. We see the father, he's not personally offended. He's not personally offended by how his son used the inheritance. Right? He's not. He's not offended at all by that. He's just glad his son is back. And so I'm just reminded here how important relationship is. And so often as fathers, we are all about the stuff. We're the ones protecting. We're the ones providing. And so often we get so enamored with this and that. And man, I provided this for you and I provided that for you. And we need to be reminded, it's not about the stuff. Right? It's not about the stuff. It's about that relationship. And so he's not personally offended. When his son goes and wastes it, he's not offended by that. Right? He's just glad his son is back. He's just glad that the relationship is restored. And so certainly as earthly fathers, right, modeling that, because our heavenly father is that way, is he not? He doesn't care about the stuff. Right? How often do we waste stuff? How often do we misuse stuff? And God is more worried about the relationship that he has with us. Right? That's the most important thing. He offered his son, Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice for us in order to have a relationship, because that is more important. And so as earthly fathers, we need to be reminded of that. And certainly as parents, I think we need to remind the relationship is more important than stuff. And then we see him, right? He confronts the older brother, because the older brother is like, he wasted the stuff. Right? He wasted the money. He wasted on awful and evil and wicked things. Look at what he did with his life. He's a disaster. Why are you allowing him back in? Why are you even, right? Why are you doing this? And so we see the father confronting the older son and saying, hey, your priorities are out of whack here. Right? It's about the relationship. You shouldn't be concerned about the stuff so much, but more that your brother has returned. And now that relationship can be restored. Right? That should be more important to you. Two, relationship longs for reconnection and restoration. Relationship longs for reconnection and restoration. Right? So certainly there has been a separation here, right? The son has left. And the father doesn't know where he's gone. No, doesn't hear from him. We don't know how long this lasted. It could have been years. We don't know. But certainly we see the father longs for that restoration, that reconnection with his son. We see him. He's the first one that sees the son return. Right? He's waiting as the son comes over that hill. He's a long way off. You kind of wonder if the father wasn't in that moment praying. Right? Praying for his son. I think he was faithful in praying for the son that had left. And certainly had gone off the rails. I'm sure he knew what his son was going to do with that money. And so he was praying for him, and here he is. He looks and he sees him, and so he longs for that reconnection. He longs for the restoration of that relationship. But along with that, the father didn't pursue him. Right? The father did not pursue the son. When the son left, the father didn't run after him. The father didn't go looking for him. The father said, "All right, son. Right? You're old enough to make your own decisions. This is what you've decided. This is what you're going to do." And he doesn't pursue him. He doesn't enable him to continue to live this lifestyle that he wants. No. He allows him to come to the end of himself. He allows him to come to this point where he's completely broken, completely destitute. And I know as parents, right, that's hard. That is hard to see our children in that place. But sometimes it's necessary, right? Especially when they're living in rebellion. They need to come to that place where they have nowhere else to turn. Certainly, hopefully, to God the Father, right? Hopefully, that's where they turn. But as we see here, this son has come to this place where he's feeding swine. For a Jew, that was like the worst, right? Feeding swine. And he's tempted to eat the swine's food. I mean, the pig's food. He's just, right? He's in such a place. And so, right, he needs to be brought to that place in order for there to be this restoration, in order for this relationship to be restored. The son needed to come to this place. He did, had to, and so certainly we see the father, I think, showing some what we call tough love here. But he didn't go out looking for him. He didn't go out and say, "Oh, son, I'm sorry you're in this bad place. Here's some more money. Right, continue living the way you want to live." No, right, no. It's incumbent upon the son then to return. But certainly the father longed for it, right? He longed. He didn't tell the son, "You're dead to me. Right? You're completely dead. I never want to see your face again. Never show up. You've shamed the family name. Never want to see you again." No, no, not at all. Right? He longed for that restoration. So number three then, relationship forgives and restores. Relationship forgives and restores. So certainly we see the son come. He's in this place of brokenness. He's in this place where he's like, hey, at least I could go to my father. Right? He knows the character of his father. That his father is a just man. That his father treats his slaves fairly and takes care of them. That they're very well off. And so he says, you know what? At least I could go there and work for my father and be his slave, and I'm way better off than where I'm at right now. Right? That's what he's thinking. He knows his father. He has confidence in the character of his father. And so he returns. He comes to himself. He comes with a humble attitude. He comes with a repentant attitude. And so we see the father. The father doesn't say, yeah, you can be my slave. He says, no, I forgive you. No, the relationship is restored. You are my son. You're my son. And so in this relationship, he forgives and he restores him to this place of being a son. And then again, dealing with the older son, we see the father confronting the older son and engaging the older son and saying, hey, you also need to forgive. You also need to restore your brother. You also need, right? This relationship needs to be restored. You need to do that. Right? And he confronts certainly the bad attitude that the older son has here. But we see the father here forgiving, restoring, and certainly that models our relationship with our Heavenly Father, who is certainly always willing to forgive and to restore. Because we do stupid stuff, right? We all do, right? We all do things we know that we shouldn't do. We all do things that in a way bring about a brokenness in our relationship with God. And we know we can come to Him. We know that we have confidence in His character to forgive us, to restore us. Number four, relationship provides belonging. Relationship provides belonging. We see the father here reaffirming. Right? Reaffirming this relationship with his son. And providing him this place where he belongs. Giving him this identity. This is who you are. You are my son. Not a slave. Right? Not a slave. You're my son. And so it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've gone and how you wasted whatever. I don't care. You're my son. And this is where you belong. And so he restores him, right? He gives him a ring and he clothes him and he gives him this position as a son. And just how, you know, our Heavenly Father certainly is like that. And in Him, we understand we have this belonging, we have this identity, and certainly as earthly fathers, we model that, right? We model that. Number five, relationship does not make excuses for sin. Right? Relationship does not make excuses for sin. Yes, we see the restoration of the younger son here. But he still has to live with the consequences. Right? The father doesn't excuse what he does. He doesn't make excuses and say, well, right, this or that. He doesn't make excuses for his sin. There's still consequences for that. And he explains that to the older son. He says, hey, he wasted his inheritance. Right? There's no more. No more money. Right? He's not getting any more money. He's wasted. There's consequences for what he's done. Right? There's still consequences here. He doesn't enable him to continue to go back and live the lifestyle he wanted to. No, he's now going to have to work for whatever he's going to gain in this world and to provide for himself. Right? He's going to have to do that. And certainly within that, he confronts the older son's bad attitude. Right? He doesn't allow the older son to have this bad attitude. He confronts him and says, hey, look, the way you're looking at this situation is wrong. Is wrong. And he confronts his sin. He confronts his bad attitude here. But he doesn't make excuses. Man, so often, I hear parents making excuses for their children. For their adult children. Right? Well, this or that happened, or this happened. You know what? At some point in time, they have to take responsibility for themselves. Right? No more excuses. No more excuses. And so, as a father here, I love this, that he didn't make excuses for what his son had done. Now he accepts him as a son, for sure. But there's still consequences the son has to live with. And I think that's important because certainly our Heavenly Father, right? Does He make excuses for our sin? No. Right? He's just. He is righteous. He doesn't make excuses for our sin. There are consequences for our sin. And the consequence for our sin was the death of Jesus Christ. Right? That is the consequence, because we deserve eternal punishment. We deserve hell. We deserve that. And the consequences that we deserve were placed on Jesus Christ. We place our faith in Christ. Right? He takes our sin. We are cleansed of sin. But right, he doesn't make excuses. There's no excuse. And we, as we come to God, we come humbly. We come with that attitude of repentance, not making excuses. We don't see, right? The Son said, he admits what he's done here. Right? He admits, I wasted. Right? He admits, I sinned. I did this. I was wrong. Just accept me back. I mean, help me out here, Dad. Right? So we see that. The relationship does not make an excuse for sin. And then last here, number six. Relationship celebrates restoration. Right? Relationship celebrates restoration. And so we see this restoration. We see this big feast that the Father throws to celebrate that the Son's been restored. He killed the fatted calf. My Son was dead and is alive. Right? This relationship has been restored. Now, He was dead to me in the fact that there was no relationship. And now He's back. He's alive. And He celebrates that. And I love that. And so certainly as fathers, right, when there's restoration within the relationship, certainly it is a cause to celebrate. And we think of our Heavenly Father, right, who celebrates. When a sinner comes by faith in Jesus Christ and that relationship is restored, right, we're told there's a great celebration in heaven. And so as I see these things as fathers, right, we are called to model that heavenly relationship. We are. And that's a heavy weight, right? To think about that and to think, man, the relationship my children have with God, right? I'm supposed to try to help model that. And certainly we fall short. In so many ways we fall short. Do we not? And so, yes, as fathers, we understand our responsibility to provide, protect. But I just want us to understand that the relationship with our children is certainly very, very important. Very important. And I just want to encourage you in that and to make that a priority. And certainly we can't have a relationship if we're not present. Right? If we're not around. How can we impact our children's life? How can we model that relationship? How can we have a relationship with them if we're not present? So we see this great illustration, certainly the father-child relationship, certainly the relationship, a relationship that only our Heavenly Father can provide, right? When we think about it, we as children, I don't know what your relationship with your father was like, but certainly as children, right? We crave this relationship with our Father. We crave the things that hopefully we want from our Father, and yet truly only our Heavenly Father can provide those things that we long for. There is acceptance, there is restoration. And what our Heavenly Father has done for us, and we can come to Him humbly, we can come to Him in repentance, we can come to Him seeking forgiveness. Again, no excuses, but we can come to Him with whatever, right? We can. Let's close with Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul talks about this relationship that we have with God, this child-father relationship. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewardship until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." So here's the encouragement, right? Here is what we can hold on to. We are children of God because of Jesus Christ. The Son, right? The Son of God sacrificed himself for us so that we might be redeemed, so that our relationship, that we can have a relationship with God. And as it said here, we are adopted, right? We are adopted into God's family. But if indeed we are children of God, we are heirs, right? We are heirs. And we have this promise of eternal life. And so this morning, I just ask you, how is your relationship with the Father? Right? How is your relationship with the Father, with your Heavenly Father? This morning, we're going to partake of communion. And I'm just reminded of the sacrifice, right? The sacrifice that the Father made for us, who were worthless, honestly, right? We are worthless. Worse off than slaves. Worthless. And yet, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die for us. He sacrificed His Son, the only Son, that we might be redeemed, that we might be cleansed of our sin, that we might be children of God. And so this morning, as we partake of communion, I hope we do so in just thankful for what God has done for us and the sacrifice that He has made for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You as we come before You. We thank You that You are our Heavenly Father. We do thank You for earthly fathers that have done well. We thank You for earthly fathers that have been faithful in their relationship with You, in their relationship with their wife, in their relationship with their children, and modeled that well. And we're faithful servants of You. We thank You for that, Lord. But more than that, we thank You that You are our Father. And You have sought us out. You have redeemed us. You have cleansed us of our sin. You desire to have a relationship with us. And You call us Your children. I am so thankful that I am Your son. And so this morning, Lord, as we partake of communion, I pray that we would do so with hearts of gratitude. I pray that we would do so with hearts that are humble. I pray, O Lord, that we would do so understanding our sin and the gravity of our sin and the separation because of our sin. That we were like the prodigal son. We are like the prodigal son so often. And yet You accept us back. We are restored in that relationship. You desire to have a relationship with us, and You love us so much. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to partake of communion at this time. Just a reminder, all are welcome to partake. Right? All are welcome to partake. You don't have to be a member. Just as long as you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're welcome to celebrate communion. You're welcome to partake with us. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, just ask that You allow the elements to pass by. If for whatever reason you just don't want to partake, perhaps there's just something you're struggling with and you just don't really want to right now, that's perfectly fine. Just allow the elements to pass by. No one will judge you. We are reminded, Paul does tell us that if there's sin, that we need to confess it. If there's something we're dealing with in our lives that there's unrepentant sin, that either don't take communion or make sure it gets confessed. So this morning, as we are about to take of communion, I would like certainly to give you opportunity to examine your own heart, to confess sin before God, just preparation. So let's just take a few moments, bow our heads, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, in this moment, I certainly confess that I am a sinner, that I have transgressed Your law so many times. Forgive me, Lord. I thank You for the sacrifice of Your Son, and I am grieved that it was necessary. I'm grieved that You needed to send Your Son to die for me, but I am so thankful. So Lord, as we prepare our hearts, I just pray that we certainly would understand what it means to be cleansed of sin, what it means to be restored, what it means to have that burden taken away because of what your Son has done for us. As we partake of communion, certainly help us to be reminded of the sacrifice and the cost of our sin. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll begin with the bread. We'll pass it out. Just ask you to hold on to it, and then we'll partake together. This piece of bread represents the body of the Son, the righteous Son, who gave his life for us. Let's partake. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the body of your precious Son that suffered, that was broken, that was battered for us, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you that because of that, we can now be called your children. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Contents of this cup represents the blood of Christ, the blood of the Son. Let's drink. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the blood of your Son that cleanses us from all sin, that makes us righteous. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.